Rabakopaya liberando si che ruda bashita ya vida dosa Zako jadane Zariando sitae. Wherever you're listening to us now, Radoja, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Aradabako yanina no jadae. Zariado sado kaya. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Zada Madamashite. Zadia Kosada. Zadano Sadabane. Zadia Sadade.
Bada 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 b bada 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 bada. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where are the rest? They are enjoying Christmas, eh? Thank you, Jesus. Merry Christmas to you all. God bless you so much for being here. There are so many people who are supposed to be here. They are enjoying the Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. It's quite unfortunate. I cannot wait for anybody. You can download and listen to it afterward. My God. I'm still on the teaching series, The Will of God. The Will of God. The Will of God. This is actually part four. And part four, I have entitled it, The Fleece Method of Determining God's Will. The Fleece Method of Determining God's Will. Last week, I spoke to you on the six ways to discern the will of God. But listen, I gave you six ways, but there are so many ways to discern the will of God. But I chose to give you six. Tonight, I am speaking to you on the fleece method of discerning the will of God. My message for you tonight is very short, so please stay with me. The fleece method. Now, fleece is the woolly covering of a sheep or goat. So does it mean that we are going to be talking about sheep and goats tonight? No. But the reason we have this fleece method is because there is something that happened in the Bible, and that is where the name the fleece method was derived from. Follow me. The whole fleece idea comes from the book of Judges, where we read of a man named Gideon. Quickly turn your Bibles with me to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Judges 6, 11. Reading through to verse 14. Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through to 14. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Do you hear the music? Is it too loud? Thank you. Verse 12. Verse 11 said, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree. Now, when you just check the verse that Elsie posted, you can see that the angel, the word angel, is spelled with a capital A. Listen, these things matter when you are reading the Bible. An angel with a capital A, it means it's not a normal angel, because angels are spelled with a small A. The very moment you see an angel that is spelled with a capital A, it means that particular angel is not an angel, but it stands for Jesus Christ. Listen, in the old days, Jesus had not fully revealed himself to his people yet, and so they didn't know the name to give him, and so they considered him as an angel. But whenever it was Jesus that showed up in the Old Testament, they spelled the angel with a capital A. So the actual rendering of this scripture will say, now Jesus Christ the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah. and he saw Gideon searching and scraping for food in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the reason Gideon had to hide the food from the people or from the Midianites was because they had conquered their city, and whichever food that you find, they will take it from you. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his mercies which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Listen, I know you are a Christian. I know you are a believer. I know you pray a lot. But sometimes you can go through things that make it seem as though the Lord is not with you. He said, "Surely is the Lord with us. And how come are we suffering the things we are suffering? How come we are always sick? How come we never have money? How come we never pass any examination? How come nothing works for us?" That is the same question that Gideon asked Jesus Christ, even though he didn't know it was Jesus Christ he was speaking to. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." Listen, I thought the man was doubting. I thought the man had doubts. And yet the Bible said, "Go in this might of yours." There was might in his doubts. Listen, your doubts are not your downfall. Your doubts cannot be your downfall. Even though he was doubting the word that Jesus gave him, yet Jesus said, "Go in this might of yours." Are you here? The man was doubtful, and yet Jesus said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Verse 15. So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Listen, the Lord is not looking for the greatest in your father's house. The Lord is looking for the committed. The Lord is looking for the one that's ready. The Lord is looking for the one who is willing to break all protocols, who is willing to go beyond their fears, who is willing to break the boundaries and the limitations of their fathers. I came to speak to somebody. Do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. Jesus is with you. He is not looking for the greatest. He is not looking for the strongest. He is not looking for the best. He is looking for he that's ready. He is looking for he that's ready. He is looking for he that's ready. Tata libashka dadabaha. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am weak. I am the least respected, the least recognized. Nobody cares about me. They take me for granted. My boyfriend takes me for granted. My girlfriend takes me for granted. My woman takes me for granted. My fiance takes me for granted. Even my father takes me for granted. My mother takes me for granted. And yet I. Why me? Lord, how can I save Israel when my clan is the weakest and I am the least in my hometown? I am the least in my father's house. I am the least from the house I come from. I am the least. Nothing seems to be working. I have struggled my whole life, and you come to tell me the Lord is with me? What are you talking about? I came to inform somebody, it will not be by your strength, it will not be by your intelligence, it will not be by your bank accounts, it will not be by the amount of knowledge you have in your head, it will not be by the things you studied last night, but you shall make it, you shall break through in the name of Jesus. Matata livraska divadaga. I am the least in my father's house. How can it be? I am called to save Israel. Do you know what it means? Imagine me living in my village in that corner. You are telling me I am called to save Ghana. I am called to save Africa. You don't know what you are talking about. These are the same prophecies we give you day in, day out, and we tell you you will become the greatest in your family, you become a pillar in your family, you become a pillar in the nations, you shall be an intercessor for the kingdoms. When you hear these things, it seems as though, is this man of God okay? Is he okay? Does he know where I come from? Does he know the mattress I sleep in? I can't even afford a bed sheet. What are you talking about? Madura bakadadaba. Mukatole braske de braka tatatara brashe. Maduka dabada braka dibala braka. I am the least in my father's house. How can this be? And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. That is to say, the only reason you can do it, the only reason you can move on, the only reason you can fulfill your purpose will be because I will be with you. Because I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. Listen, when I tell you you will never fall sick and you will not have any challenges in the coming year, it is difficult to believe this. How can I accept this? How can I live with this? How can these things be? Surely I will be with you. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. The only reason you can acquire these things, the only reason you can achieve your dreams, the only reason you can fulfill your destiny will be because I will be with you. And because I will be with you, you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you. When you check the word you, and when you check your sight in the New King James, you realize that your is spelled with a capital Y. And you is also spelled with a capital Y. That is to say, it is Jesus we are still talking about. He said, if I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, then show me a sign that it is you who I talk with. If I have found favor in your sight, oh God, show me a sign. Oh God, show me a sign. Verse 17, verse 18, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. Gideon encounters Jesus, and the first thing he talks about is his offering. He says, Lord, I pray, if this is really you and I have found favor in your eyes, please stay here. Let me go back and bring out my offering and set it before you. And see what Jesus said. He said, I will wait until you come back. Why? Because of the offering. I don't know if you are getting this. I don't know if you are getting this. He said, I will wait. If it is an offering that you are going to bring, then I, the Lord, I will wait until you come back. Verse 19. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour and meat, and he put it in a basket and put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of the Lord said, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Even though he brought an offering willingly, Jesus told him what to do with the offering. That is the mistakes that most of us make. We think as long as we have the right to bring any offering that we wish, we can do whatever we want with it. I always say, we do not ask questions about gifts. When you are given a gift, you take it as it is. No questions asked. But offerings are not gifts. Please understand me. An offering is not a gift. So when you present an offering to a man of God, to the church of God, do not consider that offering a gift. It is not. Offerings are very specific. Even when you are allowed to bring whatever that's on your heart, there is a specific order of presenting it. That is an offering. You do not decide what to do with it. You follow instructions on how to present that offering. That is why I'm telling you that in this ministry, we do not do harvest. We do not do harvest, but this is what we are going to do. Throughout the entire year, you are saying, oh God, in our Thanksgiving service, this is what I am presenting to you as my Thanksgiving sacrifice, as my Thanksgiving offering to you. I know for all you have done for me, oh God, this is the least I can do. Nobody will tell you to bring 300 cedis. Nobody will tell you to bring 100 cedis. Nobody will tell you or ask you to bring 50 cedis. Nobody will ask you to bring any fixed amount. Just as you are led, you bring your Thanksgiving offering. Offerings are not gifts. I know people who can go to their men of God and request for them to give them back their offerings and seeds. Verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Listen, when he was preparing the offering, he thought he was presenting it to the angel or to Jesus to eat it. But this is what Jesus did. He didn't even touch it with his hand. He touched it with the staff. It is not for you to find out what the man of God or what the Lord is going to do with your offering. Is it a gift? He thought he was bringing it for him to eat it, because broth is soup consisting of meat or vegetables cooked in stock. So he brought soup, he brought cooked meat, he brought unleavened bread, hoping that Jesus will eat it. But Jesus did not even touch it with his hand. The Bible said, he said, leave it on the rock. And he touched it with the end of his staff, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed. He touched it with the end of his staff, and fire came out, consumed the offering, and he departed. Verse 22. Now Gideon received
sorry, perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Most of you encounter the angels of God face to face, and yet you do not perceive. They come and they speak to you as normal men. They speak to you as normal human beings, and you talk to them anyhow. You disrespect them or you ignore them. That is the mistake you are making. The Bible said, for most of us have entertained angels without knowing. Alas, O Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." What altar have you built unto the Lord? What altar have you built unto the Lord? You must build an altar in the very place you encounter God. Whenever you come here and encounter God here, you must build an altar here. Whenever you are in your room and you encounter God there, you must build an altar there. Whenever you are in any place where you ever encounter God, you must build an altar there. You anoint the place. You are saying, "I build up an altar in this place." And the Bible said he called it, "The Lord is peace." How many altars have you built? That is why you are always under attacks. That is why you are always struggling. That is why the enemy is always overcoming you. Because there are no altars speaking for you. When you come, you encounter the presence of the Lord. You must build an altar as you feel led. If you have to anoint the place, anoint the place. If you have to kneel down and pray, kneel down and pray. If you have to lie down and pray, lie down and pray. If you have to stand up and pray, stand up and pray. Whatever you have to do to build an altar, if it is an offering you have to give, you must do it. And Gideon built an altar there to the Lord. How many altars have you built? There are some of you even join the service so that we will see that you have joined, and you drop your phone somewhere. You drop your phone somewhere so that they will not be calling you. "Oh, why have you not been joining?" These days, I have decided to be building altars wherever I will go. If it is the workplace, I will build an altar there. If it is the washroom, I will build an altar there. If it is my secret place, I will build altars here. If it is my wardrobe, I will build. Listen, wherever I have ever encountered God, I build an altar. I remember one time at a workplace, an angel came to stand behind me at the office. And whilst I spoke to the angel said, he told me why he was there. And after he left, I built an altar there. I realized that all the people around where I built the altar, they were getting touched. They were becoming more sensitive to the spirit. Continually, they were sensitizing themselves to the spirit of God. Day in, day out, they would bring their matters to me. "Man of God." I said, "How do you know I'm a man of God?" "The altar is speaking. Even when I am quiet, the altar is speaking. When I am silent, the altar is speaking. When I am down, the altar is speaking. When I am weak, the altar is speaking. When I am busy, the altar is speaking. When I don't have time, the altar is speaking. I cannot go down. It is not an option." These are the things you need to hear. Not enticing words of human wisdom, telling you all sorts of and giving you all sorts of motivational messages, telling you can make it even when you have not set your life straight with God. What matters is God. What matters is the spirit. You are a spirit living in a body, not a body having a spirit. I always say this. When the time of glory finally comes, you will let go of this body. Don't be so concerned about your body. Don't be so equipped and attached to your body. I remember Jessica is here. I remember 2 weeks ago when I shaved off my beard. Come and see what my people are doing. Hey, why did you do that? I don't understand. I don't this. I said, Jessica, you don't understand. Me, I am not attached to my body. I can let go of anything at any time. Some of you, even the clothes you wear, you take so much comfort and pride in it. You feel so pompous because of what you are wearing. You are so attached to the material things around you. That is why you cannot sense the Spirit of God. Elsie is always fighting with me. You see, I love to be real. Elsie is always fighting with me because these days I always shave off all my hair. You see, I always tell people I have done all these styles before. What have I not done? I have done jelly curls, I have done sporting waves, I have done all sorts of hairstyles that you can think of. I have multiple ways of trimming my hair. I have gone through all the different styles. Finally, I've come to a conclusion. I am tired. All this is vanity. These days, when I go and sit at a barbering shop, they will ask me, should I give you a shape? I said, please, forget about the shape. I don't need a shape. These days, I don't have time. Listen, I am telling you from a place. I have been there. I have gone through these things. I have been attached to my life. I have been attached to my looks. I have been attached to my job. I have been attached to everything around me. I have been there before. The things you are going through, I have been there. We did not grow up in a mission house. We did not grow up in the mission house. It is only when we are speaking about the will of God that you hear some of these things. I have been there before. I used to be a rapper. I have been there before. I used to wear eyes on my ear. What have we not done? Yeah, against us with the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, we have been there. And I am telling you, after everything, I now know that this is all pointless. This is all pointless. These days, I don't dress to impress anybody. I don't show up to impress anybody. I do as I am led. I do as I am okay. That is fine. As long as it doesn't go against the will of God, I am okay. That is all that matters. It's all about the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit. Yeah. It is only in the will of God, in a teaching series like this, that you will hear these things. I cannot come here every day and be prophesying to you because prophecies do not make your life better. I am telling you, whether you are happy about it or not, this is a life truth. Prophecies do not make your spiritual lives better. I can give you a prophecy. If you do not work around the prophecy, if you do not spend time and pray, it will not come to pass. I am telling you, these are facts. When last week, Thursday, during the prophetic service, you saw the number of people here. 78 people joined in the service. 78 people joined in the service. Now, this is the word of God. As at now, there are only 17 people who are alive. Do you know why? We have time for only the things we care about. You see, we have come to hear something that will benefit us. The world we are living in today, it is all about us. It is all about us. It is all about us. I am telling you, these days people are very wicked. People are very selfish. People are so self-centered. I don't put my trust in anybody. They will come. They will give you all sorts of promises. I will do this for you. I can support you. I can do this. By the end of the day, you will turn around. There is no one there. Elsie and I, last year, beginning of the year, we bought a taxi and we gave it to someone to drive. We bought a taxi. Those of you who have been with me, you know. Paul, I was with Paul. I went to buy that car with Paul. We bought a car. We sprayed it as a taxi. We gave it to somebody. Some few months, very few months down the line, the person parked the car somewhere. Eh? The person parked the car somewhere. In a station somewhere. That is the world we are living in. They don't care about you. If you are waiting for someone to make your life better, you are walking down a very dark path. You think they care? Ha. They don't care. They don't have time for you. The only person that is committed to improving your life is the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, it is a must to dwell with the Spirit today. These are things I am telling you from my heart. The only person, I didn't say your spiritual father, I said the Spirit of God. I said the only person who is committed to improving your life is the Spirit of God, not your spiritual father. Me, I am not committed to improving your life. The only reason I am doing the things I am doing is because I am following the Spirit. Are you getting me? It is not because I want to improve your life. It is because the Spirit wants me to improve your life. Follow. Don't put your trust in your relationships. Don't put your trust in your girlfriend. Don't put your trust in your boyfriend. Put your trust in the Lord. I am also in a relationship. We have been together for 8 years. I am telling you, it is not enough to put your trust in your spouse. It is not enough to put your trust in your partner. They are humans. They can fail. They are humans. They have flaws. The only person that is flawless is the Spirit of God. And the only way to walk with the Spirit is to be with the in the will of God. This is part four. I am committed to a cause because I am following the Spirit. These days, we don't have holy days. We don't have break times. We don't have free times. Every time, we are fully employed to follow the Spirit. We are fully employed to follow the Spirit. I had an employment with Vodafone 3 months ago. And before that employment, I had already booked this place, this apartment that I'm in. Listen, the only reason that I went to Vodafone was not because of salary. It was because the Lord instructed me to. We don't have lives of our own anymore. Nanisi, do you know what it takes? Jessica, do you know what it takes? It takes sacrifice. We don't have lives of our own anymore. I feel like doing this. I feel like buying this. I want to do that. You don't understand what it means to work with God. Elsie was in bed some time ago, some few days back. She called me. She said, please pray for me. I said, I want to pray for you. I really want to pray for you. But the Holy Spirit said, I am not allowed to pray for you. She's here. I'm telling you. She's my wife to be. I'm telling you. She called me. She said, please pray for me. She's crying. She said, I am very sick. I am very weak. My leg is hurting. This almost every part of her is hurting. She said, I am very sick. Please pray for me. I said, I am sorry. I want to pray for you. Deep down, I want to pray for you. But the Holy Spirit said, I am not allowed. You see, we are gradually getting to a place where we cannot do anything except what we see the Spirit of God do. We cannot. It is not I want to. It is not I feel to. It is not. Akadiva dakadaba. We don't have our own lives. We don't have any life of our own. In the kingdom of God, there is nothing like me, and there is nothing like us. It's all about Him. In the kingdom of God, there is nothing like I want, I need. You need, you have worries, you have troubles, and so what? God will send you hours away to go and preach. You don't even have the transportation to go. He says, son, get up, get out there. How am I going? How am I going? How am I going? I always say the guys that I'm working with, I don't give them anything. I don't give them anything. They are here not because anybody pays them. They are here not because anybody gives them anything. They are here because they understand the will of God. I'm telling you. These things you ought to hear. And it is only the prophets of God who can give you these things. It is only they who have decided to throw away their lives and fully rely in the love of God. Fully rely in the will of God. A brother called me. He said, bro, I am in the prayer team of the Archbishop Duncan Williams, and I pray side by side with the Archbishop. Wow. I said, bro, wow. Such a privilege to stand side by side with the Archbishop and pray together. Oh, to hold hands with the Archbishop and pray together. I said, so what do you get from all this? He says, oh, he pays us. He pays us. That is our full-time job. He pays us a little over 1,000 cedis, each and every single person. And even the bonuses and the gifts alone is too much. But bro, when they called me and they said, this is how much we'll be paying you, I looked at him in the face and I said, daddy, I cannot take a penny for the job I have to do. I cannot take anything. I cannot. He said, I will never take money. Ah, the will of God. It doesn't consider your likes. It doesn't consider your wants. It doesn't consider your comfort. It is all about Him. You need to know. That is the price we have to pay. Quickly, turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, verse 36. The sign of the fleece, that is the heading. Judges chapter 6, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. You see, God just shows up. He says, I will save Ghana by your hand. I will cause you to take over. I will cause your ministry to take over. You see, He doesn't even consider what you want. He doesn't consider whether you want to be in ministry or not. When the Lord decided to call me, He didn't care what I wanted to do. What I wanted to do was to be a rapper, was to be a musician. The Lord said, my son, put aside the music. I have something better for you. The price. Verse 37. Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. This is where the fleece method is coming from. He said, God, if truly you will save your people by my hand, then please listen. With all due respect, oh God, with all humility, Lord, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. Because, listen, this thing that you are telling me is too big for me. And you are calling me, you are telling me you give me an international ministry. You are calling me, you are telling me I am supposed to be an intercessor for my family, for my nation. Lord, this is too big for me. So you, I beg you, I shall put a fleece of wool. And I said, when we talk about the fleece is the woolly covering of a sheep or a goat. So he said, I will take that covering, the fleece of a sheep. And I will leave it on a threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. You see, the prophecy that has been given the man Gideon, don't forget, he said, I am the least in my father's household, and even my tribe Manasseh is the least, is the weakest amongst all the others. And how can you save Israel by my hand? So Lord, if truly you said you would do that, then I beg you, if there is dew on the fleece only and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that what you said is true. Verse 38, Judges chapter 6 verse 38, the Bible said, and it was so when he woke up, only the fleece was wet and the rest of the ground was dry. Such glory. A God who can cause just the fleece that is on the ground to become wet, for the ground itself to be dry. My God. If the Lord could do that, then he can cause you to be outstanding among your peers. He can cause you to stand out and become greater than you even imagine. He can cause you to break the limitations of your fathers and your ancestors. He can cause you to become, to get to the highest peak of your potential. He can cause you to reach the levels and the dimensions that you have never imagined. There is a God who can cause the fleece to be wet and yet the ground to be dry, even the ground under the fleece. There is a God who can cause you to become a billionaire and yet you do not have any degree. There is a God who can cause your ministry to take over and yet you have not even started a church yet. There is a God who can cause you to reach into the hearts of nations and yet you have not even left the boundaries of your country before. There is a God who can melt the heart of your boyfriend, the heart of your girlfriend, the heart of your beloved, such that those stubborn hearts will be totally transformed to a place where they submit themselves to the will of God and they listen to the suggestions and the opinions you have. I serve a God who can transform the lives of relationships, the lives of marriages. No matter what you think you have gone through, there is a God. The God who can change your delay into an acceleration. There is a God who can transform you and change your position. That place that you are there, that nobody respects you. That place that you are there, that they take you for granted. That place that you are there, that everybody is insulting you. That Lord can totally transform. The emphasis is on the word total transformation. There is a God who can totally transform your life and change your destiny. I have one prayer for you, that by the time we enter into 2022 and by the time we are coming to an end of the year 2022, you shall be totally transformed and you shall declare the goodness of the Lord. I pray that the wishes of your heart shall see the light of day. I don't know if I am speaking to somebody, but I wish I was preaching to the church. How long will it take you for you to understand that the church is not the chairs we sit on? The church is not the instruments that we play. The church is not the pulpit that we stand behind. The church is not the atmosphere that we are in. The church is not the walls that we are all encamped in, but the church is you and I. The church is you and I. The church is you and I. If you are better, the church is better. If you move, the church is moving. If you are transformed, the church is transformed. And so I am not called to build churches, but I am called to improve the lives of the people of God. God, because you truly are the church. As 2021 has come to a swift end, I pray the Lord might catapult you into your new year with strange miracles, with strange grace, with strange favor. In the name of Jesus, I wish I was preaching to the church, to the church, to the church. And I was there. The Lord spoke to me. Son, your job here, your mission is accomplished. Your mission is accomplished. And so, I decided, finally, if my job there is done with Vodafone, then I'm leaving. My colleagues did not understand. They thought it was because probably the job was stressful, or the job was demanding, or the salary was not good enough. But I came to bring the Spirit of God into the lives of the people. I only have one mission: to transport the Spirit of God with me wherever I go. Madara Badaga. And until now, the people that I encountered, Jessica is one of them, Papa J is one of them, Amma is one of them, Thelma is one of them, Felix, Abigail, all the people that the Lord assigned me to, I know for a fact that their spiritual lives are now better than they used to be. Oh, Jesus died and went to Hades to preach the word for 3 days to transform lives. The only reason I entered Vodafone was to preach for 3 months. My job is done. It's not about me, oh. It's not about what you want. That's the Spirit of God. So Gideon said, if truly you will do this by my hand, oh God, I'm trying to tell you the price we are paying. You need to understand, some of you, even your movie time, you cannot sacrifice. Even your TV time, you cannot sacrifice. The little things you think you love, you cannot sacrifice them for God. Then where are you going? Where are you headed? When it is time for meetings and you are busily watching a TV, that is when you decide, oh, today I'm caught up in something. Really? And Gideon arose early in the morning, Judges 6:38, and squeezed the fleece together. He wrung the dew out of the fleece and a bowl full of water. King, how can this be? The fleece that's on the ground is so wet that when he wrung it, it was able to fill a bowl. And yet, the ground under it was not wet. Verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, O Lord, with all humility, please do not be angry with me, but I beg you, let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, with all humility, just once more, with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. Gideon is troubles more. I say, God, one more time, I beg you. This time around, initially I asked you, make the dew wet, but make the ground dry. But this time around, please, I beg you, make the dew dry, but make the ground wet. You see, if you have studied physics, if you have studied physics to a point, you realize that when the ground gets wet, when the ground gets wet,
depending on the landscape of the land. The water that wets that part of the ground will automatically slope down to the other parts that are not wet yet. That is how floods happen. Right? So, what the guy is asking God scientifically is impossible. Doesn't even make any sense. Say, Lord, it's going to rain. Yes, I know. Make every part wet except just this small circle. It doesn't make any sense. But he's saying, Lord, this is what I'm asking. Verse 40, and God did so that night. Ah, God, he has time. Gideon is asking all these gimmicks, and God is doing it. And it was dry on only the fleece, but the rest of the ground was wet. Oh. You see, we serve a God that things that are scientifically impossible is possible for him. The doctors will tell you, they will diagnose you and give you all sorts of fears, telling you you have this, telling you have that, telling you have low sperm count, telling you you are not fruitful, telling you do not have enough eggs in your womb, telling you you have, listen, all sorts of things. You have coronavirus. That is the voice of science. But when we are talking to God, when we are talking about God, when we are lifting up the name of God, and we are talking about the things that God has done before, we do not consider signs. Signs will put fear in you. Signs will tell you you cannot get pregnant. A brother shared a testimony with me. He said, before my mom got pregnant, the doctor said she doesn't have a womb anymore. Listen to this. Her womb doesn't exist. Science said the womb doesn't exist. Doctor said her womb doesn't exist. The voice of science. And the woman said, Aya Palumata, I know that the voice of science has spoken. And there are so many kinds, different kinds of voices in the world, as it is written. And not even one of them is without significance. But there is one that is greater than the voices. There is one voice that can walk in the Garden of Eden. There is one voice that can overturn the mountains. There is one voice that can part the seas into two. There is one voice that can kill a man and resurrect a man. There is one voice that can transform the destinies of men. There is one voice that can bring back Lazarus from the dead. There is one voice that can transform the destiny of Mary Magdalene. There is one voice that can improve the destinies, the lives, and the passions of people. There is one voice that carries salvation into the ears, into the hearts of men. There is a voice that chastens the hearts of men. There is a voice that makes you better than you have ever been. There is a voice that is higher than anything you have ever heard. There is a voice that even the waves of the sea, the waves of the storms respond to. There is a voice. There is a voice. There is a voice. I want to hear you shout, there is a voice. There is a voice. That voice. That is far higher than the voice of science. This is the fleece method. Lord, if it is you, then do this. Lord, if it is this, then do that. But let me break it down for you. Take me to Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 through to 10. Genesis chapter 24.
Now Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Oh, how I wish I could say this about my own life. And the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Do you know what it means? In all things, oh. The Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Ah. Until the Lord blesses you in all things, listen, you should never be comfortable. The only time you are allowed to be comfortable and to be in a comfortable zone is when you know that the Lord has blessed you in all things. Charlie, you started receiving 1,500 cedis and you are relaxed. You had a marriage, you are relaxed. You are now in a relationship, you are relaxed. You are joking. There are people marrying, they cannot give birth. There are people marrying, they do not have peace. Listen, you are not married yet. You are not married yet, eh? You are just in a relationship, and yet you have peace in it. People are wishing that they had peace in their marriage, that same peace in their marriage. Hey, do you know the way the Lord is blessing you? But listen, it's still not enough, because the Lord has not blessed you in all things. You are still struggling with a job. You are still struggling with your spiritual life. You are still struggling with your prayer life. You are still struggling with commitment. You are still struggling with loyalty. It means that you cannot be comfortable. But as for Abraham, the Bible said the Lord had blessed him in all things. Verse 2. So Abraham said to his oldest servant, and I love this word, oldest servant. Do you know what it means? It doesn't mean that. You see, the oldest servant is not talking about age. It doesn't mean that that person was the oldest of the servants. No. What it means is that person was the one who had served Abraham the longest time. Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house. Some of you, you are still not even servants of God yet. Can God call you an old servant? Because today, you give your life to Christ. Tomorrow, you take it back. Today, you want to do this. You want to do something in the kingdom. Tomorrow, you take it back. Today, you want to be with God. Tomorrow, you take it back. Ah, you are not even a servant of God. Can God call you an old servant? And Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all he had. Listen, some of you, this is where you do not get. Who is ruling over what you have? Is it your girlfriend? Is it your beloved? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it your spiritual father? Or is it the Spirit of God? Who rules over all you have? You do not even have much. As of now, all you have is an iPhone and a charger. The pillow you are using in your room, even your mother bought it for you. The mattress you are sleeping on, your father bought it for you. Your bed sheet is not even for you. The only thing that you truly own is your iPhone and your charger, your Infinix and your charger, your Techno and your charger, your Samsung and your charger. You do not even own much. And yet, who rules over it? Nobody rules over what you have. Why? Because you have not dedicated the things of your hand, the works of your hand, into God, into the life of God, into the hands of God, into the majesty of His will. You haven't. Who rules over what you have? That is why the devil can take anything away from you at any time. I always tell people, you will hear that I have been robbed. Please, the things I own, there is a man that rules over it. His name is Jesus Christ. He rules over everything I have. Is it my phone? Is it my laptop? Is it my bag? Is it my mattress? Is it my TV? Is it my vehicle? Whatever I own, God rules over it. Is it my relationship? God rules over it. Is it my destiny? God rules over it. Is it my ministry? God rules over it. Is it my relationship? God rules over it. Is it my friendships? God rules over it. You cannot even dedicate your relationship to God. That is why you are misbehaving. And that is why you are always jumping from one guy to another guy, one man to another man, one woman to another woman, because nobody rules over what you have. Please put your hand under my thigh, Abraham said. Verse 3. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, and you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites. Oh, Abraham. Abraham has trusted the servant so much that the servant is no longer a servant, but the servant has become a brother. The servant has become family. That even issues concerning the marriage of his own blood, he is leaving it in the hands of the servant. When God is deciding things concerning the kingdom of God, can he inform you about it and can he leave it in your hands? The kingdom of God. Can he trust you that much to leave it in your hands? Hey, God cannot even trust you with enough data. God cannot trust you with enough data, because the very moment you get the data, the only thing you do is to watch twerking. You watch women twerk on your phone all day. God cannot trust you with enough data. How much more his kingdom? God cannot trust you with the lies of other believers, because the only thing you do is to compete with them. God cannot trust you with the lies of other believers, because the only thing you do is to envy them. God cannot trust you with a congregation, because the only thing you do is to take them for granted and to abuse them. God cannot trust you with women in your ministry, because obenya ba ministry no mo pe okopeno obenya ba ya, you are going to chase after them. Man of God chasing after women, what an error and a disgrace to our surname that is God. Listen, our surname is no longer Chemating, our surname is no longer Paul, our surname is no longer Asiedu, our surname is no longer Amankwa, our surname is God. Such a disgrace to your surname. Obabaya Udilechi. Every woman, you want to have a taste. Listen, repent. Oh, these things that we are doing, your cup will be full. Your cup will be full. Your cup will be full. Madara magaduva la labrata. The Lord trusted, Abraham trusted the servant so much that matters concerning marriage, he left it in the hands of the servant. He said, go and find a wife for my son. And I trust that your choices. Oh. Verse 4. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. Verse 5. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Verse 6. But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Listen, most of you, when God trusts you, that is when you begin to abuse God. When God trusts you, that is when you begin to shirk your responsibilities. When God trusts you, that is when you begin to abuse his instructions. Abraham has now come to a place of trusting the servant so much, trusting the son so much, trusting the brother so much, that he has given the brother everything that he owns. And yet, He still gives him an instruction. He says, beware that you do not take my son back there. The fact that God trusts you doesn't mean that you have outgrown instructions. I know that you will not like it. This thing that I'm telling you. When sons rise to a place of honor, when sons rise to a place of eminence, when sons rise to a place of recognition, when sons rise to a place of value, that is when they think they do not need to take instructions from their fathers anymore. Listen, God might have used me to do some miracles that probably my spiritual father has not done yet. Listen, please. And this thing that I'm about to say, I am not saying it to be proud. With all due respect, and if by any means I am saying it, or what I am saying makes me sound proud, forgive me. I am not saying this to be proud. The Spirit of the Lord works in me, and the Spirit of the Lord uses me to do things, to touch lives. I have been anointed to bless lives. The Lord might have used me to do things that my spiritual father might not have done yet. It doesn't mean that I have outgrown instructions and I must not take instructions for my spiritual father anymore. The very moment you think you have outgrown instruction and counsel, that is when you begin to go down. The Bible said, in the multitude of counsel, the people rise. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. In the absence of instructions and counsel, you are going down. You see, what will bring you down in ministry is not your sin. What will bring you down in ministry is your failure to follow instructions. Join the service at 8, you cannot come. Stay for 1 hour 30 minutes, you cannot do that. Join at 3 p.m., you cannot do that. Lift up your voice and pray. You think you have outgrown that. You think you are better now. You think you have improved now. You no longer need instructions. You are heading towards your downfall. No matter where I will get to in life, the instructions my father will give me, I make sure I do not abuse them. I make sure I never abuse them. He says, son, don't do this. Son, don't do that. Son, do this. I make sure I follow accordingly. Beware that you do not take my son back there. But the Lord God of heaven, verse 7, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. I will send his angel before you. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Verse 8, if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. What is the need of an oath? An oath is symbolic of honor. Some of you are not honorable. You do not honor any oath. You can promise God, I will do this, Lord. I will give my life to you, Lord. I will be better, Lord. And yet you yourself, you release your own self from that oath. You are not honorable. And the Bible said, give honor unto him honor is due. And this is why people never give you any honor, because you are not honorable. To be honorable, you are bound to an oath. You are bound to an oath. You are bound to an oath. You are in a relationship with a person. You are bound to the oath of loyalty. You are bound to the oath of commitment. You are bound to the oath of respect. If your partner cannot do these things, then release them from the oath and release yourself from that oath and let them go. You cannot be loyal to me. You cannot be committed. You cannot be committed. You cannot respect me. You cannot submit. You cannot love. Then you are not honorable. Verse 9. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. For all his master's goods were in his hand. He has the right to choose whatever he wants to take whatever he wants to, because it is in his hand, and yet he never abuses them. Some of you get small access, you begin to misbehave. There are some people, when they join the service for the first time, every now and then I call people randomly just to say hi to them and to check up on them. And there are some people, when they join the service, I had never called them before. People had been with us for months and I had never called them before. And some of these guys, the very first time I called them, come and see. They are so excited. They are so happy. And sometimes I ask, why are you so happy? I said, I mean, of course, because the prophet, you've called me and I wasn't expecting it. And they don't know what to say. They are so happy. Wow. But they begin to get access. They feel now they can call you whenever they want to. They feel now they can message you whenever they want to. They feel now they can join service whenever they feel like. They begin to misbehave because now they have access. Give people access and see their true character. This is why prophets are very, what's the word? They keep to themselves. Mostly, they keep to themselves. Prophets mostly keep to themselves. And they usually keep their circles small. Because when you give people access, it will shock you. Before you realize, oh, please, can I get money for this? Before you realize, they are calling you at 2 a.m. because they can't sleep. Before you realize, they are doing whatever they want to. Before you realize, they don't join services anymore because now they have access. Before they had access, they never missed. That is the character of men. Even though the servant had access to all his master's goods, yet he never took any for granted. The Bible said he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, because that was where he was sent. He was sent to go and find a wife there for the son Isaac. Now I'm going to say something. The distance from where Abraham was to Mesopotamia was about 600 to 700 miles. Listen. That was how far it was. Almost about 3 or 4 times the distance from Kumasi to Accra. Are you following? Abraham sent his servant to go as far as 3 times the distance of Kumasi to Accra. 3 times the distance to go and fetch a wife for his son. And in those days, they didn't have Range Rover. They didn't have vehicles. They didn't have VIP buses. They didn't have planes. They didn't have helicopters. He had to travel with a camel. Do you know? It means that a distance of about 600 or 700 miles would take 3 or 4 weeks to cross. It took him 3 to 4 weeks to get to where he was going, just on a road. Hey, some of you, you are sent just here to do something. You cannot go because you'll be in traffic. Hey, some of you, you are sent just here to go and check on some things. Just from your home to town, it will take you just 25 minutes drive. You will get there. You can bring back what you've been asked to go and bring. And yet, you complain or harden. You see, one thing that always tells you that you cannot follow the will of God is that you cannot follow the things that your leaders ask you to do. You cannot follow the things that your bosses ask you to do. You cannot follow the things that your spiritual fathers ask you to do. They will send you just here. Go and check on these people. Go and check on this ministry. Go and check on this group. Go and buy these things. Go and buy a microphone. Go and buy a speaker. Go and buy a pulpit. You cannot do it. And if you cannot follow the voice of your father, you cannot follow the voice of our father. If you didn't get that, let me repeat. If you cannot follow the voice of your father, then you cannot follow the voice of our father. In the next 5 minutes, I'll be ending. So he traveled 4 weeks, 4 good weeks, to fulfill the heart's desire of his master. Genesis 24 verse 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city of a well of water. The man has traveled for 4 weeks. He is tired. He got there in the evening. And the time when the woman go out to draw water. Then he said, now listen, this is the fleece method coming again. He said, oh Lord God of my master Abraham, oh God of my father Abraham, oh God, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Verse 13, behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Verse 14, now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I also, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. Listen, this is what I call the fleece method. The fleece method is when you do not know what is coming. You do not know what to choose. You do not know what decision to make. But you pray a prayer. Just as Gideon said. Gideon said, Lord, if truly you will save Israel by my hand, then I beg you, this fleece that I am leaving on the floor, make it wet and yet make the ground dry. This is the fleece method. And now the servant of Abraham said, Lord, I beg you, I do not know which of these women is supposed to be the wife of Isaac, but I beg you, or amongst all the women who are coming, I will ask for water to drink. Yes, but when I ask for the water to drink, please, the one who will also say, I will give you water for your camels also, let that one be the right one for Isaac. That is the fleece method. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding? The fleece method, it's all about uncertainties. You are with a man. You do not know whether you are supposed to marry him or not. And so you invoke the fleece method of determining God's will, and you say, Lord, if this is the man to whom I'm supposed to be married to, then I pray thee, O God, let him never ask me for sex till the day we will marry. Are you understanding? You are saying, oh God, I don't know if I am supposed to stay with Prayer Life Virtual Church, but Lord, if it is your will, then when I join the service today, let the man of God talk about relationships. Let the man of God talk about commitment. Let the man of God talk about loyalty. This is how you evoke the fleece method of determining God's will. Sometimes you are so unsure, you do not know if this person has to be your associate, if this person has to be your PA, if this person has to be your assistant. So you say, God, if it is this person, then let him call me before 12 p.m. today. It will shock you. It will shock you. Before it is 12 p.m., if the person is the one, they will call you. Are you understanding the fleece method? So, you see, stop chasing after men of God, seeking for understanding concerning and insights concerning your relationship. Man of God, I don't know if he's the right one. Listen, I don't know. Invoke the fleece method. Say, God, if he is the one, then let him do this or let him do that, or let him not do this or let him not do that before this time or that time. That is just how it works. It's that simple. And if truly you invoke it with faith and with expectation, you receive an answer. I invoke the fleece method concerning the decision to leave Vodafone. And I said, God, if it is your will for me to leave this December, then, oh God, let there be no resistance from the bosses I'm working with, number one. Number two, the particular day that I'm supposed to leave, when I go, let none of them show up. The fleece method of determining God's will, amazingly, I thought I was going to leave on a Friday. That was last week Friday. But I got to work on Monday, and then my supervisor called me. He said, oh, I wanted to come today, but something came up, so I couldn't come. So please, today, dear, you are in charge of your people. Yeah, so please watch over them for me and see to it that the work is fruitful. I said, oh, okay, so no one is coming today, so it's just us. I understand. I quickly understood that was the fleece method that I used to determine God's will concerning my decision to leave. And so last Monday after work, I left, and that was it. Because the Lord has spoken. It's that simple. The fleece method of determining God's will. I'm not sure if God is calling me into ministry. Therefore, if our pastor preaches on missions this Sunday, then I will know that the Lord has called me into ministry. When you get to work and the pastor preaches about missions, it means that you have been called into ministry. If you get to work and he doesn't, sorry, if you get to church and he doesn't, it means that you have not been called. That is the fleece method of determining God's will. Do we all understand? Makadura bagadaba. Shadiva da brata. I pray for you. All of you guys under the sound of my voice. That from today, you will not do anything according to your own will. But you will learn to follow the ways to discern the will of God. And when you need to invoke the fleece method of determining God's will, you will not hesitate. I pray that from today, may your path be ordered. May your path be ordered. May your path be ordered. And may your mistakes be few. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for you. And I cause the heavens to open over your life. May the Lord continually order you and order your steps and guide you. May He be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I pray. May you be confident in the things of God from today. Listen, do not be seeing yourself as an underachiever, as somebody who is on a lower level, on a common level when it comes to the things of God. Listen, the Lord is with you. Even Gideon, who came from Manasseh, that was the weakest amongst the tribes, and he who was the weakest and the least in his father's house, the Lord chose him to save the nation Israel. I pray, regardless of how you see yourself, may you be a chosen vessel in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. God bless you for making time tonight. And I pray that this festive season will bring joy in your home. Joy in your house. Joy in your family. Joy in your mind. Peace and stability all around you. I curse the spirit of confusion. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please be reminded, we have just 5 days more to our Thanksgiving service. It's also a communion service. The communion part is very important to me. Get your communion wines ready, your communion bread ready. You cannot miss Friday. It's just this Friday. And the time is not the usual 8 p.m. The time is 3 p.m. Please note, Friday, the time is 3 p.m. Do not forget. And as I've been saying, in this ministry, we do not do annual harvest. We do not do Kofi Niyama, where we will come and tell you, bring this amount, bring that amount. Who is coming with 1,000 cedis? Who is coming with 5,000 cedis? Who is coming with 500 cedis? We don't do annual harvest here. But this is what we do. We do the Thanksgiving offering. And this year is the first time I'm instituting this. During our Thanksgiving service, or let me say after the communion, we are all going to bring a Thanksgiving offering. What the Lord has done for you throughout the year, how He has taken care of you, how He has taken care of your family, how He has been faithful to you, the testimonies He has given you, all that the Lord has done for you from 1st January 2021. And you are bringing an offering to say, Lord, I am grateful. There is no amount attached to it. Just look at your life and decide on the amount to thank God with. God bless you so much. I love you so much. See you on Thursday. Sorry, no. There will not be a Thursday service because of our crossover service, our Thanksgiving service. So on Thursday, we will not meet, but on Friday, we will meet at 3 p.m. See you. Bye-bye. Sorry, are there first timers here? Anybody who is joining for the first time, we want to be in touch with you. Mimi, God bless you for being here. Can you drop your WhatsApp number? We want to be in touch with you. We want to add you to our platform. I'm your host, Vincent Chamartin, and this is Prayer Life Virtual Church. So kindly drop your WhatsApp number if this is the first time you are joining us. Thank you, Mimi. Adam, God bless you. Eugenia, are you guys recording this? All right. God bless you, Mimi. Are there any first timers? Any more first timers? I pray for the first timers. As you have joined us and listened to us today, I pray may you be covered by the angels of God. May you be protected. May the angels of God be assigned to your homes. And may you never be abandoned in your endeavors. I pray that you continually experience the love of God in your hearts and in your minds. I pray that the Lord will show himself so strong to you daily. I pray that any battles that you are facing, you are fighting, Lord, may the Lord take over. May the Lord take over in Jesus' name. You have been fighting for too long. Unburden yourself unto the God of prayer life. Unburden your heart unto the God of prayer life. Unburden your minds unto the God of prayer life. Oh God, thank you that whenever we pray, you hear us. Anything that is dead in your lives, may it come forth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.